for members only. Golf Smarter number 288, published on June 21, 2011.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
The top 100 courses in the world.co.uk.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Rare that people play golf and then not continue it through their whole life. It's once you get the bug, you get the bug.
Oh,
and it stays
God.
With you.
It's really remarkable how the bug, it doesn't matter on the type of person, man, woman, young, old. You're right. Once you get the bug, it's painful.
It is painful, and it's
expensive. And
it can be.
Yeah, but, you know, most hobbies are.
But it
except running.
Running, yeah. Yeah.
But, well, because my son went through the running thing, and yeah. You know, he ran a marathon last year, and it's like, it's actually expensive on your body.
And it's not so social, is it, as golf? You're not going to meet up with your mates and have a quick marathon.
Yeah, I don't know about any other activity that is as social, physical activity that's as social as golf.
And the places that we can all play.
Right.
You know, we can play where all the good guys play.
And I think that's something so interesting that most new golfers don't get is that there are golf courses designed to beat you up. When you think you're out there having a bad day, it's not you. You're playing fine. The golf course is supposed to do that. It's supposed to beat you up. That's its job.
You're right.
You know, and that's why one of my frustrations, I've talked about this too many times, that my frustrations with the USGA is they're not an advocate for the golfer. They're an advocate for the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the show that we recently did, about this, the book from the 1973 U.S. Open, talking about Oakmont and what a nemesis it is.
Scary.
And that's its job.
It's the top courses are scary.
Yeah,
they are scary.
Well, let's get started in talking about those top courses. So, welcome to Golf Smarter for Members Only, Andy.
No problem at all. Nice to see you, Fred.
Andy Newmarch, your website, top100golfcoursesintheworld.uk?
Yeah,
co.co.uk.
You got it.
Okay. So it's different than the top 100 blogger, which we've had on the program before, in the sense that this guy's traveling around the world trying to complete the top 100 courses of all time. That's not what you do. You have a business centered around being a travel guide.
We've tried to create a service, an information service for golfers from around the world. So what we did about 7 years ago, at the back end of 2003, maybe 8 years now, we just looked at all the ranking systems. We went through all of the whatever Golf Digest came up with, and Golf World, Golf Monthly, the Peugeot Guide, you know, 30 years of historical ranking data. And we were never sure which list to follow. And why would golfers choose one list over another? So what we've did, we needed a starting point. So we looked back and we got the historical data and we blended them together. And we got a little bit of a spreadsheet going, which is now, spreadsheet must be about 3 miles long now. We've got so much information. And we just blended it together. So what we've come up with, without going into a lot of detail, we've come up with a consensus of consensuses. So we provide editorials for every course around the world. We have an interactive action. So we have a little bit of a TripAdvisor feel going on. So golfers can leave their comments and they can leave a small rating for a course that they've played, which then gets taken into consideration the next time we would re-rank. And we try and do that each 2 years. We've just created a community where people are reading about a golf course. They're seeing photographs of a golf course. They're seeing other golfers' opinions of courses. So people are arriving there at golf courses from around the world, and they have a little bit of knowledge.
Right.
Right. I have a little bit of a knowledge. So,
well, it's also helpful if you're going to an area and you want to know about the golf course. You can, mm-hmm. you know, do a little research ahead of time and decide which course you want to play.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And this community we've created, we receive plenty of emails each day saying thank you for what you're doing, thank you for the service.
Nice.
So we feel as though we're doing the right thing. And the rankings at the very top end are the top 100 in the world. Then we'll rank by continent. Then we'll rank by country.
Right, and it's the top 100 in that continent, and
that's
then the
it.
Top 100.
And we keep dropping down, and we're dropping down, and we're dropping down. And right now, in 2011...
It's like a reverse pyramid situation.
You got it. So right now, for Britain and Ireland, we're starting to rank at county level.
Is that where you started?
I think Britain and Ireland was our original top 100 of Britain and Ireland. That's where we started, because that's what we knew.
Right, but plus the fact that you realize you're on the web, and... It's way beyond that.
Exactly. So, yeah, and we've got some rankings at state level here mm-hmm. in the US.
Mm-hmm.
It's work in progress. You know, it's by no means finished. We think there's 50,000 courses or so in the world, something like that. So we're going to try and...
Boy, the US really dominates that doesn't
it? Oh, God,
it?
Yeah. It's maybe 30,000 in the US.
And closing every day.
Oh, God, yeah. So we may... The finished article might be 5,000 courses from around the world, like the top 10%.
Because mm-hmm.
what we're not a directory. We're not a directory that lists every course in every area. We just want to feature the best. And we get the rankings going, and people like ticking off things, don't they? They love saying, I've played the number, whatever...
And that was really one of the motivations for me to create our Golf Smarter Adventures is to, I think that golfers love to brag about golf courses they've played and the social element to it, but they also love to have somebody else make the arrangements.
Mm.
And so it's like, let's go play here. So
They do. It's good. And it's been a good journey. It's been a good journey.
Tell
you
me
know.
About your criteria on where you go to get the various reviews and how it is that you merge them.
Well, we're just looking at the glossy magazines every month. We're looking at the online publications. We're looking everywhere. We're just taking every bit of information. You know, the business isn't called Andy's Favorite Golf Courses. We've got, because if it was, it would look a lot different than what it does online.
Where Andy shot his lowest scores.
Oh, yeah, you've seen me before. But what it is... Every single bit of published ranking information gets fed into our back end, and it will have an influence. So if Golf Digest say this is now the number one course or that is now the number 10 course, that gets banked. We take that data in, and then everything's getting stored up. Every 2 years we look at it, and then we blend and we merge. And all we've done, we just try to create the most informed rankings.
Nice.
Because if someone says to me, I follow Golf World's numbers... And another fella says to me, I follow Golf Monthly's. Who's right and who's wrong? Neither.
It's subjective.
So what we've done, we've just put it all together, and we've hopefully come up with the best that it can be.
Well, it's subjective, you know. So it's the best.
It can be. So what's better, 5 people's opinion or 500 people's opinion? You've got to get the more opinions, the more chance you've got of, well, just coming up with this. We call it the most informed rankings.
Right.
Never use the word definitive, like some of the glosses do, which...
Well, that's what they do to sell copies.
Yeah, they do.
That's what they have to do.
The definitive guide to this, that, and the other.
How fluid are your rankings in the sense of how often do they change?
We would change every 2 years. So we're changing quite regularly, but for the US, we do the US. And then maybe 6 months later, we'll do Britain and Ireland. Six months later, we'll do the continental Europe. 6 months later, we might do Australia. New Zealand. So there's constant changes, but once a change has been made, that probably stays for a couple of years.
So where are we in that change for the United States?
I would imagine we will be changing in the early part of 2012. So probably just under a year. We'll have a look
from
at everything.
From where we are today. Yeah.
So we'll have a look at that again. And what tends to happen at the very top end of the rankings, maybe the top 10 in whatever country you're looking at, they don't change too much. They're fairly static. So, you know, if we look at Britain and Ireland, you might get Turnberry, the Ailsa course, maybe number one. Occasionally, it just drops out to be two, and it might get replaced with Muirfield or the old course. But the top end is is similar. There's a, you don't really want something that was number one dropping out to number 30, because that wouldn't feel right. So the top end stays similar. The best course in the world. So the best course in the world may be Pine Valley. That's probably going to be one or two forever. What do you think?
Well, I'm squinting right now and making this face like I'm miserable because I was invited to play Pine Valley this weekend. I couldn't go.
Fred.
I know.
What can I say?
You know, there are regrets that you have in life. And I think between that and not having a tail, I think that those are my two biggest regrets. I would love to have a tail.
Well, hopefully you ask for a rain check and you can do it later.
It would be nice. It would be nice. Yeah. And it's a very close friend of mine, and he's out there playing. And
well, there you go. That is the rankings, that's number one in the world.
Yeah.
And you've turned it down.
And how much golf course construction is going on in the UK? I mean, is there a lot of new courses being introduced?
It slowed down a little bit. During the 90s, there was a lot going on.
Everywhere.
Too many courses. Not good enough, really. A lot of old farmers' fields were changed into golf courses, and they didn't look good, and they've not survived. You know, 20 years on, a lot of them have gone bust.
And so the industry is, you know, in itself is not in great shape.
It's not good. No, I mean, members of golf clubs are leaving clubs because they're finding it hard to justify their annual fee. Mm-hmm. And people are getting back into pay and play and just moving around the world and...
I don't think it's interesting because I don't think, and from what I get talking to people in the business, it doesn't seem like the amount of rounds are dropping. That it's just that it's being redistributed, and I think where the big impact is the equipment sales. People are spending less on equipment, going, you know what, the driver that I have, it's the same driver as last year, and it works fine for me. I'm going to keep that and put that $500 into four more rounds of golf, or six more, or eight more rounds of golf.
You're right. People are choosing to spend their money a little bit wisely. Equipment. You know, we've all wasted too much money on equipment. You know, I was in a pro shop recently, and there's these brand new golf balls, extra length golf balls, or whatever they're called. So I'm thinking to myself, well, what is the point of hitting it further out of bounds? You know? So I don't choose to buy them balls anymore. You know?
And all the equipment is regulated anyway, so how much change can it be other than the color and the name?
These new white drivers that are doing the rounds at the minute, I mean, they look good, but are they going to make us better players? Probably not.
Don't tell the public that.
Don't tell the public. You're right, but, you know,
we'll be hated forever.
For 40 years, I think the average handicap around the world has been, you know, 17, 18, and it's still the same.
So, all right, let's get back to what you guys do. And do you have your own criteria of how you're going to rank other than what other people are saying?
I think we do. The idea would be you've got to play the course. You've got to get out there. You've got to feel the course. You can't judge a course from watching it on the television. So you have to look at the course. And the old thing about tough par, easy bogey on every single hole, that comes into my mind.
I love that line. I've never heard that before.
Tough par, easy bogey. That's what we all want. You know, everyone should be able to play to 18 handicap. If it's
hopefully, if they don't beat themselves up.
If they don't beat themselves and play within themselves.
Right.
Course condition, it's got to look good. It's got to feel good. And you need every hole. You need a challenge. And this is what I'm saying. Easy bogey, tough par. You need that challenge. But everybody should be able to play to their handicap on nearly every hole that they visit. And what they should do, and this is a big thing for me, is choose the tee wisely. There's a lot of things in Europe that where we say this is the competition tee, the men's tee, the ladies' tee. Forget all them words. They should just be the tee related to handicap. So when you hit your tee shot, so you've got Tiger at the back tee and you've got you and I at the front tee. So you hit your tee shots and then your balls should be in the same sort of position.
Right.
Whether you're hitting it 200 yards or 300 yards.
And it shouldn't be tied to ego. It should be tied to handicap.
Absolutely. Forget, you know, I'm not playing off the ladies' tee because it's the ladies' tee. How ridiculous is that?
Pretty ridiculous.
I would say ridiculous. So I'm a big fan of choose your tee wisely, get your ball into play, and then when you're 150 yards from the green, that's when the skill comes in.
So choosing your tee is... And I want confirmation if you and I agree on this. How do you, based on your handicap, so what are you looking at the scorecard to help you choose your tee? And is that where you're looking? Is it the scorecard?
It probably is. And maybe, you know, how far you got to carry? How far is the fairway from you? How far have you got to hit the
ball?
Well,
you can't change your tee for every hole that you play. So what is the one thing that you look at to go, this is what tee box I'm playing from today?
I would say maybe the total yardage of the course. You know, if Tiger wants to play 8,000-yard courses, good luck to him. If I want to play 5,000-yard course, then I'm going to be happy. What is the point? Respect your handicap, play to your handicap, and play within yourself, because it all becomes a little bit more enjoyable then.
I'm so glad I asked the question that way, because I, nothing personal here, but I couldn't disagree with you more. I think that the length of the course can also, that the rating and slope mm-hmm. is what I would rather look at, especially on the slope, because you can have a 5,500-yard course that is a slope of a 135, and you can have a 6,500-yard course that's a 121.
Mm.
Right?
Well, I think...
And so to me, it's like, oh, 121, give me more, because a shorter course could be a shot maker's course.
Yeah.
And it'd be much more difficult rated.
I think what you've said is great. I mean, the slope rating that you have here in the U.S., I think is brilliant. We don't have it.
Oh.
We don't have it in Great Britain and Ireland.
Oh, well, then, you know what? We should look at the yardage.
We need it.
Let's look at the yardage then.
The degree of difficulty, we need it.
It's very interesting.
It really should happen in Great Britain. I've been campaigning for this around, you know, amongst my friends and people that would try and listen to me occasionally. Let's get the slope system. Because a par 72 and a par 72, they're not the same course.
No,
one is
not.
Harder than the other. Everywhere you go in the world, we need the slope rating. I think it's coming. There's talk of it coming, but you have it here, and it's brilliant. Honestly,
I'm kind of wow. Listen, really, is it? What about Europe?
It's out there in some of the European countries, but Britain and Ireland. You know, we talk about the home of golf, but we don't have a slope rating. And I genuinely think it's important.
Very interesting.
It is important. And then, well, you know, you arrive at golf course, you know how tough the course is going to be, not just because of the yardage, not just because of the par, but because of the slope rating. We need it. It's difficult. You know, I don't know why we haven't got it. I know the Royal and Ancient Committee, we respect them because they are, you know, they are what they are, and they are... Don't laugh.
Come on, say it. I can see in your eyes you have something
it's
more
just,
to say.
They're just a little bit slow to change.
Oh, that's
you know, you
kind
ask them, you may ask them something, and they might make a decision in 15 years' time.
What? And even if they make a decision now, it's going to come in effect in 15 years' time.
It's just slow. This is why I love visiting in the US and coming to the golf courses, because... If change needs to happen, it seems to happen fairly quickly. The R&A may be a little bit stuck in their ways. I love the tradition, don't get me wrong. I love all the tradition. I love...
Protect and preserve.
I love everything that they stand for. But just now we're into the modern world, let's just occasionally maybe... Let's be a little bit with the times. And for me, the slope rating on the course is the big one.
That's really interesting. And how many contributors do you have to also add to that criteria of the, you know, the glossy publications?
Mm. Well, we've created a community, an online community. We receive in maybe 20 or 30 player reviews every day.
Oh, wow.
From around the world. People are submitting photographs. And if they're good enough, they'll go online.
Great.
So people like that. People like to feel part of something that's good. So
feel like a contributor.
Exactly. Someone will go out on the golf course, take a photograph of a hole, a tee, or a green, or somewhere, send it to us, and we'll just chop it up, put it into the right size, bang, online.
Oh, well, I got some photos that I want to show of that I took at Torrey Pines, north and south, that I got to play.
You just send them through, and we'll put them online, and we'll say, thanks very much, Fred.
Oh, good.
Honestly, we want this community. We've created this information service, but we want people to be involved. We want people to send us reviews, send us photographs, tell us where we're going wrong occasionally. You know, if someone reads something about a course, And if we haven't got it right, just tell us, and then we'll correct it. You know, that this is...
Well, because it's subjective.
It's
that person may disagree with you because that was a bad hole for them. Mm. There was Torrey Pines down in San Diego area, La Jolla. I had one hole. To me, it was the hardest par three I've ever played in my life. It's because I didn't land on the green and I couldn't get out of the crap, you know. And so I took an eight on a par three. And to me, it was like, wow, that was tough. Was it? If I played it again, would it still be that tough? I don't know.
I think you're right. We have to be careful not to dislike a hole or a course because we haven't played so good. We got to be careful there. I can hopefully...
That's why I always question golf journalism.
Yeah.
Because it's just some guy's opinion. It's not, you know... I mean, when on this kind of golf journalism, you know, tourism journalism...
It is an opinion. And the whole thing that we're involved is opinion.
Right. But it's like, and who told you you're the one who gets to give us your opinion because you like to write and you like to play golf?
That's right.
Yeah. Who anointed you?
Exactly that. So what we've hopefully created on the Top 100 website is all of the opinions from around the world. And we just think it probably is as good as it gets.
That's great.
That's all we've done.
Well, good. That's really a fair way of congregating the information and then synthesizing it out and put it, you know.
Yeah, we think we're doing okay. And, you know, as I say.
Do you, like, give it a number rating system? Like, you know, this guy gives it a 10, this guy gives it an 8. Well, let's give it a 9 because.
It's a blend. It's a blend of people's opinions, you know. Yeah, so most golfers' opinions are similar. You know, they're similar. They have.
Yeah, a little coffee.
They're similar. If somebody goes to, you know, the old course at St. Andrews, most people are going to love it because of the history, the tradition, and we've seen all the good guys win there. Some people might say, it's not actually a very good golf course, but so what? So what? You know, it's just a beautiful place. The town of St. Andrews is unbelievable. But it's opinions. So we have two guys' opinions or... 2002 guys' opinions. Let's get as many opinions as possible, and all of a sudden we've probably got as good as it. I keep saying good as it gets, and you know, it's nothing's perfect, but we'll just.
No, but that's why we play golf, because we're in search, we're in constant search of perfect.
That's right. So you know, it's all about opinions. You know, in a similar way to the you know some of the hotel ranking websites. Most people just look at them nowadays before they go and choose a hotel.
Yeah.
And you just go on opinions, don't you?
Right.
So that's what we've done for the golf courses.
What is the biggest surprise that you've had in creating this website and the information that's been congregated on it? I keep using that word. I'll find something else. But yet the information that you've been able to put out and what kind of surprised you in having all this information?
Well, I mean, I think the surprise is the warmth that we've got from the community.
Nice.
You know, there are genuine people that not just want to tick off numbers and say, I've played the best course in the US or Spain or Portugal, anywhere. Not just listing. People take their time to come home, write their opinions, write their reviews. People are passionate. Golfers are passionate about, firstly, going to a golf course, secondly, playing the golf course, and what we're feeling, thirdly, writing about the golf course and sharing their experience with the next guy that visits that course. So that's the biggest surprise is that people, there's lots of people that think like we do. That's the biggest surprise. So we generally think that golfers are honest people, they're nice people, and we all try and get on, and we all occasionally end up in a four ball that we've not chosen, but 4 hours later you've got three new friends that you're going to keep in touch with. So it's everything. It's everything about visiting courses, meeting new people, sharing your experiences, and that's what we've done. You know, it's been a tough road, but it feels good. It feels as though we've created a bit of a brand. I don't like using the word brand because that's a bit. It feels as though we've got a little bit corporate. But
You got to use that.
It's a service. It's a service more than a brand, and. That's what we want to do, and we want more people. You know, we want more people to visit the site, post reviews, where have you played, where are you going to play, and just...
Creating a niche for yourself.
Yeah, just keep it going. You know, this will never be a finished job. Let's keep it going forever.
Oh, isn't that the dream? It's so funny because as I was thinking about coming in today and talking to you, I was thinking about opening up with, like, I hate you. Because here it is, you've got a website that you get to rank the best golf courses in the world. But I'm glad I held off on that because it's not what your rankings are. It's not about what you're doing and the places you get to travel to and play, is it? I mean, now I'm really realizing that it's much more than some guy's opinion.
Exactly. My personal opinion, like I said before, is minuscule in comparison to the hundreds and thousands of people that are contributing. I've got my opinions, and I will have my opinions on golf courses. But they won't affect things. They won't affect things just on my own, because we want hundreds and hundreds of people.
So of the top 100 in the world, how many have you gotten to play?
Of the world, well, I'm struggling a little bit. I've probably had about 20 of the world.
Wow, that's pretty good accomplishment.
It is. Obviously, our background is Great Britain and Ireland. So between myself and Keith Baxter, who is our editor, we've covered all of the courses for Britain and Ireland. And we've done a lot in Europe, and we've done a lot here. But like I said at the beginning there...
Okay, so I do hate you.
50,000 courses to go. I've probably got 49,000 to go in the world.
So here we are, and we've met. You could tell we're in the grill here at Harding Park in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you reaching out to me, telling me you're coming, and that because I've kept an eye on your site, and you do a really good marketing job with your email blasts and social media. So we're gonna come out now. Tell me about the ranking of Harding Park.
I think we currently Harding Park will be ranked at around number 12 or 13 within the state of California. Okay. It will have a ranking within the top 200 of the US. I would need to check the numbers because I haven't looked most recently. But
I think I was looking at it the other day. I think you had Harding Park is number
99
in the world.
In the world,
yeah.
Oh, well, here we go. See, listen.
But you also had you have a course called San Francisco, that's a higher ranking. I have no idea what course that you're talking about.
Is it not? Is there not a course here, the San Francisco Club?
Is there?
I think it must be extremely private. But I think, I'm sure it's... Yeah.
I know the Olympic Club, which is... we'll be able to see it when we're on the back, which is next year's US Open.
It is, and I'm very lucky. I'm visiting tomorrow.
Are you really?
I am going to Olympic Club tomorrow.
Wow.
Very lucky, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said to you before, I'm here for other business reasons this week, but wherever...
Talk about that.
Well, there's an annual event called International Powwow, run by US Travel. And it's a convention, it's a trade show, it's everything you can think of where the US will be showing off all of the activities and the entertainment all around the country. So what you end up getting around 5,000 tour operators, journalists and buyers from around the world. We all come over once a year, normally in May, April, May, to a certain destination. So we're here in Frisco this year.
No, not Frisco. No.
Is that not a good word?
Not good. Even San Fran is kind of iffy, but it's
good?
San Francisco.
All right. I do apologize.
Yeah, because I'm not coming to Great Britain and hang out at Lund.
Lund. That's a good point. Yeah. That is a good point.
Or Dunn. I mean, it's...
You got it. No, I always take local. Always take local knowledge.
I just want to emphasize that to anybody who's listening. Okay. Don't refer to it as Frisco or San Francisco.
So we are in San Francisco.
Good job.
And I'm loving
Welcome.
It.
Welcome.
I'm loving it to pieces. I really am loving it. So, yeah.
We got nice weather this morning,
oh God,
too.
Yeah, so the International Powwow, you know, we got 5,000 people from around the world come in, and the U.S. travel guys, they put on a big show. They look after us very well, and they tell us what's going on. And then we all go back to our various countries, and then the tour operators start booking.
Are you at this event, are you pushing or pulling? Are you selling your service, or are you just there to absorb?
I'm just telling people what we're doing. I'm just reminding people that haven't stumbled across the Top 100 website yet, this is what we're doing. Get your...
And they're travel agents?
Travel agents.
They need to know about
that's
this.
That's right. Owners of resorts and clubs and lots of different services. Mm-hmm. So all I want to do is say, look, when people ring you up, when people write to you, asking about golf courses, put them in our direction, send them this way, and then their experience of coming to the US will be enhanced. Mm-hmm. Because they're getting the information. Mm-hmm. They're not arriving blind. You know, they know what they have an idea.
Decide to keep your eye on, you know, and what's going on. And again, I enjoy it, and I'm glad that I found it. Again, the URL is?
It's www.top100golfcourses.
You may not need www anymore.
I think we should just park that. So top 100 golf courses.
100, not spelled out, but 100.
The numbers, yeah.
Top 100
golf courses.co.
Oh, okay.
.uk.
Okay.
So, it's a UK URL, but, you know.
It will go to golfsmarter.com, and I will definitely have a link.
We'll have a little push, yeah.
Yeah. There'll be a link on the show notes for this show. So what is your handicap? Which tees are you playing from today? We're going to go out and play now.
We've got some golf coming our way. I'm hanging on to 12. My handicap of 12, so I'm hanging there. And we'll see. We'll see if we can hang.
We're, you know,
let's see if we can get close to 12 today.
I'm just behind you. Okay. This should be fun.
Well, the sun's shining, so let's...
I hope you play for the same thing that I play for when you go out with somebody.
Well, we've got to have something on it, haven't we? You could never play golf without having something on.
Really?
It. So what are we playing for?
Fun.
We'll play for some fun.
That's how I play.
We'll play for some fun. But
to me, I'm competing against the conditions. I'm competing against the course. I'm competing against the lie. I'm competing against the equipment. Competing against you? Forget it. It's just one thing too many. I can't handle all that. So let's just go out and have some good time and yell at the ball and not...
You got it. Fun's the winner.
That's what I play for. I'm going nuts enough. You want to put money on it? Oh, my God, no.
Exactly. We're not good enough to play for money.
No way.
We don't want that pressure of a $5 putt at the end. That's too much pressure.
Well, I've really enjoyed meeting you, and I'm glad we got to do this face-to-face, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you, Fred.
And, again, check the URL. From the golfsmarter.com.
Listen, and even in the search engines, just type something in top golf courses, and the top 100 website is at the top.
Great.
People will find it.
Thank you very much. Best of luck.
Cheers, Fred. It's been great to meet you.
Well, after 288 consecutive weeks of publishing Golf Smarter, the Iron Man streak is coming to a close. I'm not hanging them up. But I am going on a vacation for a couple of weeks and will not have the opportunity to publish a new show while I'm gone. And I'm not even going to be playing golf while I'm gone either. But when I do return, I've got a couple of episodes ready to go that will have videos to go with them. The golf sensei, Jamie Zimron, returns, as does, finally, video of Tony Manzoni and the Lost Fundamental and the announcement of his book. So stay tuned. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.